T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball. With Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go to work. It's Joe, it's Low, it's Dibs. It's 95.7 The Game, and it is outstanding to have you along for the ride today. We got a little bit of a twist. Low out with the sniffles. Was pouring mucus all over the place yesterday.
Oh,
we kicked
boy.
Him out, and in comes Tokyo Jim Cozumel.
I don't want this. I don't want this microphone.
You had two other options. Why'd you go there?
I'm going to move. It's still early.
You realize you made a tactical error 48 seconds into the show.
I know. What's the deal, Dibs? Am I going to be in tomorrow? What's going to be my ailment, my affliction?
Yeah, we had you 3-1 with a head cold today based on the mic share. And already I've got you questionable to make it all the way through.
Good
Our producer's already back there, hands on head, John Curley, already wondering what the elixir is,
nice.
Looking for emergency, etc.
I'm glad you brought John Curley up. Can I get a round of applause for our producer, John Curley, please?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, it's a fake round of applause. You got us kicked out of that charity fantasy football league. We lost in the opening round to DK from Alt. I saw her this morning. Was simply trying to have my avocado toast, and yet once again, here comes society wanting to have conversations with me.
Oh,
so
no.
I have to engage in a conversation in which not only were we the better team after the regular season, but our team for charity. We have now entered the playoffs. We have now been eliminated from the playoffs. John Curley put in charge of that team.
My man.
Much like Doug Marrone, you're on the hot seat, buddy. You, Ron Rivera, Doug Marrone, mount hot seat more.
Yeah.
Put them on it.
We'll call him Freddie Kitchens from now on. Not Johnny Curley, but Freddie Curley or Freddie Kitchens or Johnny Kitchens, whichever. My man. Whichever one he prefers. But, yeah, thanks, John, for nothing.
Curley's got the Alt Started It t-shirt on. Much like the Pittsburgh starter,
nice.
You bring up a Kitchens on me.
How clueless do you have to be to do something like that?
Very.
As a professional
Very.
And also as a manager of an organization. Like, you are the head of that organization, and you are wearing that shirt. That is Cleveland's problem. That is not our problem. John Clayton, NFL insider extraordinaire from Seattle. He's coming up in 2 hours. It is Tuesday, which means Terrell Owens will join us at 8:30. And good friend of the show, Ian Williams. You see him on TV right now, looking sharp up there. He's coming in studio 9 o'clock for the full hour. Big prop bet. Will he make it on time this time? The
Ooh.
Bay Area traffic snagged him the last time we tried this.
Yeah, and with rain in the forecast and everyone trying to squeeze in those last couple of weeks of work, Jimmy, before the big Christmas holiday, I got the over-under at 909 right now. Early 909. First syllable.
And the last time it was a deep over that time, right? Wasn't
solid
it?
Over.
Yeah, solid.
He came
over.
Rolling in at like 9:50 and was like, "What's up?" It's like nothing's up. We're out. The show's over. Jokes aside, though, Ian Williams, good friend of the show, he is set to join us at 9 o'clock in studio. All right. Baltimore, see ya. Not worried about you anymore. You lose that game. It is time to turn our attention to the New Orleans Saints. But before we can do that, we have to take a look at what happened last night, Monday Night Football, in a game that had a much greater level of importance than normal for the San Francisco 49ers. The Seattle Seahawks hold on to defeat the Minnesota Vikings 37-30. And we are now living in a world where the 10-2 San Francisco 49ers are your 5 seed. The Seattle Seahawks are the 2 seed. They would have a first round bye. They would be your division champions. And the New Orleans Saints would have the number 1 seed, the team you are playing this week. Didn't go well last night. Minnesota had a chance, but they couldn't close when it mattered most.
Man, multiple chances. And that was a good old-fashioned kind of AFC Steeler-Raider game from the early 80s. Just a wild hootenanny, Jim, with teams trading haymakers, big plays, playmakers. The crowd was in full voice. And you look at the calendar and you realize it's December. So here we go. It's time to separate the real wheat from the chaff. And fortunately for the 49ers, you've got an opportunity to do that. You've got New Orleans still. You've got Seattle still. You've got at least one playoff game, it seems, on the docket as well. So all this for the 49ers. You don't have to hope that other teams handle your business for you. Because two of your four are against these monster teams.
Yeah, I think you're going to get a real test of what your playoff life is going to be like in these final four games and what's going to happen. And you saw it last night. Just when I thought I could turn my head away from the game, then here comes Minnesota one more time. I don't know if you can sleep on a Minnesota, but it's going to be fun to watch what the 49ers do the final four games, especially this weekend. I am torqued up for this thing. There is a ton at stake. So you think that what you had in Baltimore was going to be a slobber knocker? Just wait until you head into New Orleans to have to face Drew Brees and company.
Early money on the San Francisco 49ers. Game open Saints -3.5, which is a drastic departure from what the line was when it came out in July. You get lines on every game week 1 through 16. They don't mess with 17 because there's a lot up in the air there. The original line for this game in the summer was Saints -9.5. It is now Saints -3. Actually, at Caesars yesterday, it went down as low as 2.5, which is incredible considering how important the number 3 is. We'll have more on that later. Dibs and I were talking about the importance of the number 3 yesterday. Some great research if you'd like to share.
Yeah, the number 3, Jim, more games have been settled by a 3-point difference than any other game in NFL history, and it's not even close. In fact,
trivia question, ask him if he can guess what the score, the number 1 score is, rather than give it to him.
Right, what do you think the most common score in NFL history is? And I'll give you the clue of, it is a 3-point result.
All right, 2017.
Wow, look at this guy.
It's a big brain.
Look at this guy.
Wow. Am I close?
You're on the number.
Get out of here.
Dead
on.
Bang money biscuits.
Boom.
Right there.
Look at the big brain on Brad.
Seriously. Look at the big brain on Brad.
That was a good set. I like that.
You nailed it, though.
Know that. And 3 points. That's the most common differential you're going to get.
Seven of the most 10 common scores ever were all decided by 3, as Joe and I were geeking out yesterday on every game in history. Two of them were 7-point differentials. One's actually a 10-point difference, one of the 10 most common scores ever.
This is why it's so important when a point spread is 3. If you like the dog, you got to get the 3.5 if it's available. If you like the favorite, you got to get the 2.5 if it's available. And last night, it was fluctuating 2.5, 3, 2.5, 3. If you like Seattle, you had to get on 3. Bailey misses that extra point, which had it at 4, and then the fumble on the kick return, which leads me into something. And this is going to be a real quick aside. I've knocked on Kirk Cousins as much as anybody. But for the idiots out there today who are talking about Kirk Cousins is now 0-8 lifetime on Monday Night Football, it's the worst mark in the game's history, please stop. Please stop. He is not the reason they lost that game last night. He wasn't perfect. But in Seattle, against the Seahawks as an underdog, Cousins finished 22 of 38, 276 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He wasn't sacked a single time by Jadeveon Clowney and the Seahawks last night. Dalvin Cook had the huge fumble that led to 7. Bailey missed the extra point. Xavier Rhodes was garbage. At one point in that game, he had been targeted 4 times. All 4 of those targets were caught for 99 yards and a touchdown. That dude used to be one of the best corners in the game. He is a long way from it as of now. They gave up the fake punt on 4th down late in the game. They get the ball back at the end. CJ Ham fumbles on the kick return. And oh, by the way, the defense gives up 37 points, 444 total yards. Seattle 7 of 15 on 3rd down. Seattle held the ball for 39 minutes and 45 seconds last night. Get off the field, defense. So if you want to blame Cousins, there are plenty of opportunities that have presented themselves and will continue to present themselves for you to throw Cousins under the bus. I've been doing it for years. Last night is not one of those games. That 0-8 stat is a joke.
Yeah, especially when you had Cook get hurt, and so you had to basically abandon the run game, and you didn't have any opportunities. It's always easy, Jim, to look at the quarterback and say, oh, he's the one who gets all the credit. He's the one who gets all the blame. If New England is able to do what they have done so many times this year, everyone will look at Tom Brady and say, oh, he won the Super Bowl again, when in fact he's a lot closer to Peyton Manning in his years with Denver than he is the peak Brady years.
Absolutely. Cousins is an easy pinata for a couple of reasons. One is, well, you signed the big money contract. You're supposed to get your team over the hump. And everyone thought Minnesota was that close. Their defense was going to be that dominant. And they had upgraded at the quarterback position. But the other part of the optic is what he looked like at the end of the year last year in a game that they had to win. And he's yelling at his receivers. And then he's getting yelled at by his receivers. He looked like he turtled up right there. So I think there are a lot of reasons that everybody takes a swing at Kirk Cousins. And a loss on Monday night is just another visible thing.
Jim, a fun fact for you, knowing that you're from Chicago, Mitchell Trubisky has a better completion percentage this year than Tom Brady. Which leads me to ask,
Are you sure?
Do you believe Trubisky is the next Tom Brady?
I don't think.
What are you doing? Serious question.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I do not.
Brady's 29th in completion percentage.
Wow.
And his yards per attempt is way down, too. Just keep that in mind moving forward, which leads me to the biggest question of my life, and it's my favorite question every single day. Stephen Langford, what's up with the Warriors?
Thank you for that, Tibbs. What's Up with the Warriors is brought to you by Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. The Warriors had a rough road back-to-back as they fell to the Hawks last night, 104-79. Eric Paschal was a bright spot, though, scoring 24 points on 11 shots, adding 9 rebounds and 6 assists. They continue their road trip against the mighty Charlotte Hornets tomorrow. D'Angelo Russell hopes to return from injury. Back to you guys.
Holy crap. The Hawks had given up 120 points in 10 of their last 13 games. They held the Dubs to 79 last night. 79. What is this? Pistons, Spurs, 2004?
Damian Jones, tough defender.
If you're going to lose, lose big. That's what I always say. That's why my favorite bet of the weekend was the Raider game. I had the Raiders. They immediately went down, and I said, you know what? I don't need to watch. I don't need to stick this one out. I stuck out Minnesota and lost that one last night. Yeah. I didn't have to stick out that Raider
no,
game.
No, you did not. That would have been a waste of your time. That was ugly.
All right, so here's something that becomes very interesting for Niner fans as we get set to look at the remaining four games for the Niners and the Seahawks. You, San Francisco, have become huge Washington Redskins fans. I'm going to explain that to you next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lo and Dibs, starring Jim Cosimore.
Well, I think you start with Justin Tucker, best kicker in the game. Great opera singer, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
And rapper.
You had to one-up me.
On 95.7 The Game.
Give me the context. Give me the context of what was happening there.
That's fake news.
We were talking special teams, and Justin Tucker came up, and I mentioned that he is a very good, noted rapper. I saw it on Real Sports tonight.
No.
Tonight on Real Sports.
No, you. I thought you had him. I thought you had him as the opera singer.
I did. I had him as the opera singer, and then he immediately said he's also a good rapper. It's like you had to one up me.
I was adding to your story. I wasn't one upping you.
Why do you feel that as being one up?
I think that's on you.
He's trying to supplement the interesting information you've brought to the table. You're bringing an interesting nugget to the table, and Jim hears that and says, I can put a nugget on top of your nugget.
Normally a good friend, a conversationalist of the professionalism that I thought that he had attained would remark on my remark first before transitioning to his, to which I would then remark back, and it becomes more of a ping-pong match as opposed to a pick six.
Was it like a game of Uno? Was it a game of Uno when you put your card down and boom, I just drop one right on top of it?
You hit me with a draw four. You hit me with a draw four, and I thought we had something going. Last time I gave you a reverse, I knew you needed a red. You draw for me, Jim.
And rapper.
Yeah, see? Immediately.
Today's Take Your Pick poll question, which is brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet, will be up on the website soon at 957thegame.com. Will the 49ers go 4-0 to end the regular season? Your options are yes or no. I got bad news for you. And I know that we were all of the impression that things were going to be fine for the Niners. The Niners are going to go ahead and win the division. They're going to grab that one seed. Everything's going to be fine. Things are not fine right now. Now that the Seahawks won last night and have taken over the division, things are not fine. And then it's not that they're not fine because the Seahawks are now on top of the division. I want to lay out a scenario for you. Do you remember yesterday, Dibs, when we got a great phone call about the tiebreaker system if both teams went out and we were trying to figure out what the situation was?
Right.
It's not good for the Niners. I finally went through it. You would have to go to tiebreaker number 5 to figure out if both teams went out, who gets the division and then who ultimately will get a first round bye. Here's how it plays out. The Niners' next four games, at the Saints, hosting the Falcons, hosting the Rams, at Seattle. Seattle's next four games, at the Rams, at Carolina, hosting Arizona, hosting San Francisco. Now, if the Niners win out, that means Seattle has to lose the final game of the season. But if Seattle wins the rest, they end with what? The same record. They end up with the same record on the season. Wait, this is based on the New Orleans loss, right?
Okay, this is based on the Niners going 3-1 because then they would finish in a tie at 13-3.
Yes, this is why you have to win out. You have to. You don't have an option.
Okay.
You have to win out because if you lose to the Saints and win the rest and you end up in a tie with Seattle, tiebreaker number 1 is head-to-head, you'd be 1-1. Tiebreaker number 2 is the division. You would have the same record within the division. Tied net breaker number 3 is common games.
Okay.
Common games, you would have the exact same record as well.
Really?
Common games is everything but two games.
Carolina, both teams have played Carolina, those games, the common games that they have on each schedule.
Yes, it would be your divisional games, it would be your crossover against the AFC North, and then it would be your crossover against the NFC South.
Right.
Those games. Those would all be tied as well, because remember, Seattle's three losses would be the Niners in Week 17, the Saints and the Ravens. the three losses for the Niners would be the Saints this weekend if it doesn't work out, the Ravens this past weekend, and Seattle. So now you're tied there. Number four, your conference record, which again would be the exact same.
Oh, my goodness.
Which now leads you into the strength of victory category. Because last night, that win over Minnesota eliminated any chance of there being a tiebreaker in favor of the Niners on the conference schedule. If they had lost that game, the Niners could have had the better conference record. Strength of victory is the combined win-loss record of all the teams you've defeated.
Ah.
Defeated.
Oh, the teams you... Okay. Now, okay, I see you.
So you've lost to the Ravens, Saints, and each other. You have the same records there. So it comes down to those two games that you play that are a crossover. The conference games that aren't from the crossover division. So for the Niners, the crossover division is the NFC South. They play the Bucs, the Saints, the Falcons, and the Panthers. The other two games, in the NFC East, they played the Redskins, and in the NFC North, they played the Packers. You combine those records right now, they're 12-12. For the Seahawks, it's the Eagles and the Vikings, currently 13-11. You are now rooting for the Washington Redskins with all your heart and soul.
And rooting against Philadelphia, similarly, because you would want that record to come down as well.
Here's the big problem right now for the Niners. The Redskins and Packers play each other this weekend, so one of them has to lose that game, which means you're just drawing a split. Meanwhile, Minnesota's a 14-point favorite over Detroit, and the Eagles are an 8.5-point favorite Monday night hosting the Giants.
Oof.
That five seed... You got to beat the Saints.
Right.
The Saints game now becomes the most important game you will play this season prior to Week 17 when you take on the Seahawks.
Unless Seattle somehow stubs its toe along the way, because if Seattle goes 3-1 and you go 3-1, you're right, tiebreaker-wise. And thank you for finding out about strength of victory, because we went through it yesterday, Jim, and that fifth tiebreaker, I was like, strength of victory, they don't really define it. It doesn't say exactly what it is, but it makes sense that is that computation. So not only are you scoreboard watching against a potential Seattle team, now you're also watching Philadelphia and Washington. You've got an eye on Green Bay as well. The red zone's probably down on in Santa Clara at all times on Sundays.
This is an incredible situation. What was so beautiful for so long, just because you lost a really good game at Baltimore and then the Seahawks went out and won. So now what do you make of the Saints game this weekend? Where were you at with the Niners, Coz, your thoughts going into this game? Do you like them in this game?
So, see, I already was cautious about this game just because of the way it laid out. You had all your sights set on Baltimore. No matter what you did, win or lose in Baltimore, now you're going to have your schedule thrown off by going to Florida for a full week before you come over and play New Orleans. I just thought it was a tough ask the way the schedule laid out and the way physically your body is going to prepare for it. Some people would say that's great. Get your body clock a little closer to what's going to happen when you play the New Orleans Saints. Other people say come on back home and get comfortable in your normal space and just fly out to New Orleans and play. I think it's a tough ask to go to New Orleans and to beat a team that is playing real well right now. I don't feel good about what's coming up on
Plus,
Sunday
they come off
the
that baby bye because they played
That's
on Thursday.
Point. That's
so
an
they,
excellent
they
point.
They get the extra rest and the extra rest having been at home, you know, the short trip from Atlanta. But I like the move to Bradenton for the week, especially weather-wise, what we have here. You wouldn't want to be out there in the cold and the rain with your stiff bones.
Cold.
But
cold.
Dude, it's freezing out there, Jim.
It's like 60. It was 59 degrees on the
It's not freezing out there. It's a little bit
terrible.
Of rain. It's fine.
It's windy and it's cold, and I'm not happy, Joe, having grown up here and lived here for 51 years.
You've got Minnesota blood in you.
Yeah, that's all gone now, Coach.
Is it really?
It's all been transfused out.
That's too bad.
Too many head wounds.
I think this Sunday, though, is going to be a bear. I think that New Orleans is loaded. I think they're coming back and feeling good with Drew Brees under center. And I do think they're going to – I think Sean Payton starts to trick the game up a little bit more. I am
You saw some Taysom Hill this last weekend.
And he said we need him more. We need
He's
going to
gonna
see
have
him more.
To. If you look at how the Niners perform against the – and Lowe's talked about this quite a bit – the statuesque quarterbacks versus the mobile quarterbacks, this game is tailor-made for the Niners. Defense to feast. Look at what happened to Drew Brees in the game a few weeks ago against the Falcons. He was sacked six times. Look earlier in the season when they beat the Cowboys, I believe it was a Sunday night game. The two worst offensive performances of the season were the Dallas home game and the Falcon home game, and both games featured the opposing defense getting all after the Saints quarterback. That is going to be a major, major factor in this game. Nick Bosa has to have the game of his life. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by our friends at Dialpad. The Giants making a move yesterday that sent the city into an uproar. I was surprised, but we'll discuss that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises, with Jim Cozumore here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowen Dibs, featuring Jim Cosimore.
You are filthy.
On 95.7 The Game.
I'm trying to lose this bet on the Vikings and trying to monitor some other stuff that's going on. Youngest kid had a first birthday recently, so my younger brother sent a bunch of WWE action figures. We were watching a lot of old school WWE on YouTube last night. Some great stuff. I tried to introduce the kids to the Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man Savage. Realized very quickly that was a mistake. Savage doing interviews, he's terrifying. Terrifying with that voice. The cream always rises to the top. You got to go find that interview. It's nuts. My kid's looking at it. I was like, I got to turn this off. He's insane.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go look it up then.
I'll show you in the break. It's on YouTube. It's one of his famous rants. Mean Gene's interviewing him, and he's all upset because President Jack Tunney has stripped him of his title and given it to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Wow.
And he's upset because he has these little creamers for coffee. He keeps holding them up. The cream always rises to the top. But he's freaking everybody out. I forgot how intense that dude was. So, long story short, I pop onto Twitter at one point to see what people are thinking about the Monday Night Football game and other things, and I noticed the Giants are making some moves. Yesterday, the Giants had to make some decisions on tenders, what they do with a few key players. Alex Dickerson is back. They avoided arbitration. Dick gets the one-year $925,000 deal. He'll be 30 in May. Hit 290 last year with 6 home runs. Injuries are a bit of a concern.
That's the biggest thing with him. They did some great research. Coming up, he was a great player, an up-and-comer. He got hurt, and a different baseball operations took over for his original team. And when a different one comes in, they kind of remove themselves from the old guys. Giants did a good job of background research on Dickerson. I like him.
925K, you got to figure what's the harm there, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get a guy for a lot less than that, are you?
Exactly. Very good pickup right there, but boy, our injury is an issue with this kid. Every day, it's like he's made of balsa wood, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and you know, you look at moves in December, and it's hard to really figure out who's going to be around, especially the way Farhan is churning this roster repeatedly. It's like the compost gym when you got your own compost pile. You got to turn that, and that's basically how he's treating his roster.
Good for him. You got to go do it. Good job.
Wandy Peralta's back at $805,000, so they avoid arbitration with him. But here's the big one. The big one. What was going to happen with Kevin Pillar, the Willie McCovey Award winner from this past season? Pillar, in just under a year with the team, they traded for him very early from Toronto, had become quite the fan favorite. Roaming center field, making big plays left and right, coming through with the bat in some key spots. Let him go.
That
they let him go yesterday. He's going to be 31 in January. The Giants say no, and now there's outrage. There's all this outrage anywhere, everywhere. What do you think?
Well,
are you in the outrage camp?
I'm not outraged. I'm definitely surprised at this. A guy who hit 21 bombs and a guy who came in and gave you a heartbeat at a time when you had none, when you were in the midst of churn. Remember, in the beginning of the year, Farhan Zaidi wanted to see what he had. So he was running out some new young faces.
Old Connor Joe.
And he realized he needed to have a heartbeat. He needed to have a pulse on this roster. So he went out and got a guy who can give him that. And Pillar served that purpose. You said the Willie Mack Award winner. So he was something in the clubhouse. He was something on the field. Makes great defensive plays. I don't think you non-tender that guy. I mean, I'd rather have that guy in my clubhouse because I'm still going through the churn, which means I need to have some level of stability.
So you don't know anymore because the Bruce Bochy era is over, and this signifies yet another reason why, or another example why, Farhan Zaidi is now in control of the organization, and the Bruce Bochy era is over because you don't need a heartbeat. And you're right. What he provided in that last year was a spark. Yaz, the same thing. This year, you've got Buster and the two Brandons, an aging core. Are fans going to get excited about that? Would Kevin Pillar have made that much of a difference at $10 million?
Well, I will say, I think that's one thing that we have to remember about Giants fan. They love loving their guys, and they're running out of those guys to love. And they finally found a new face to kind of hang their hat on. I think fans got behind Pillar, and they're thinking, he's a guy I could buy his jersey, and I'm going to be here for a couple of years. If I'm going to go through a little bit of stink, at least I got a guy giving it his all whenever he's in the lineup for whoever the skipper's going to be. And then to see him just taken away like that, I think that sets a lot of people the wrong way.
One of the key points to understand about all of this is the idea of emotion. Right, there's a lot of an emotional reaction to this. Jim, you're making a great case on that as well. Fans get emotional about this. Other radio hosts get emotional about this because they liked Pillar. They thought he brought something to the team. He's exciting. That's emotion, okay? This team, this front office, they have no emotion. There will be no emotion moving forward. It's tough for people to grasp that because professional sports and rooting for your team is a very emotional experience. But they're not going to make emotional decisions. You're not going to get fan favorites coming back on luxurious contracts because it makes you feel good at night. That's not how they do business. Bottom line here. $10 million for Kevin Pillar. He's going to be 31 years old in January. He hit .264 last year. He hit .293 on base with the Giants. .293 on base. That is absolutely putrid. Now, people like him, the Willie Mack Award winner. The biggest thing you need to understand is that he's taking reps away from young guys, guys who could be the future of this franchise. That's the reason for the decision. Everybody wants to see Joey Bart. Everybody wants to see Jalen Davis, right? How often do we hear that? How often did you hear from the fans, well, call this guy up and call that guy up. We want to see him. You need to clear space for those guys, not just to come up to sit on the bench, but to get on the field. If you pay Kevin Millar $10 million, that means he's playing every day in center field, which means he's taking reps away from one of the younger guys. You can't have it both ways. If you want to see the young guys and you want these guys to be developed, they need to get on the field. So you can't have the Pillars out there clogging up the lineup, clogging up the outfield. Because the reality is this, when they're ready to compete in a couple of years, Pillar's going to be 33, 34 right. years old. He's not going to be able to contribute
Won't
much.
Won't be a part of the core. And ultimately, this rebuild is not a three-month project to where if you keep Pillar and add a couple pieces at the deadline, all of a sudden you're right there. You were darn near 40 games worse than the Dodgers last year. And I don't believe the Dodgers were quite good enough to win the World Series in their own right. So the ground you have to make up is extraordinary. And if the rebuild involves a complete tear down to the studs, which is what Farhan has indicated he's going to do.
I disagree.
You don't think that?
I don't think it's a tear down. I don't think they believe they're tearing it down to the studs. Remember, at the trade deadline this year, the discussion was, are you buyers or sellers? The Giants aren't all in on tearing down to the studs and becoming the Houston Astros or the Chicago Cubs.
See, I think that was against the backdrop of the final year of Boch, though.
Could be.
You wanted to give Bruce Bochy one last chance. And I think if you still felt that there were enough pieces to compete for a wild card with Kevin Pillar, you would have kept Kevin Pillar at $10 million. But Farhan's not looking at 2020 as anything other than a 4A baseball team.
Well, then he had better have something better than he had at the start of 2019 because it was so whiz poor looking at what the outfield had every day for Bruce Bochy's last ride that he had to go out and get Kevin Pillar just to be somewhat respectable on a lineup every day. You better have something ready to go, and I just right now don't know what that something is that's going to be a little better than the Connor Joes of the world.
From the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, Coz is spot on. The fans wanted Pillar. It doesn't matter what the fans want. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't. You're right.
The illusion of what the fans want is what matters to the front office.
But, Joe, that's what they were taught. That's what they were taught. They won championships, and all those guys are signed, sealed, and they're going to be Giants for life. And that's what we as Giants fans remember. Oh, Buster, I know he's slumping right now, but he's Buster.
Oh, Timmy and the Panda and the baby giraffe.
How wonderful they're all coming back. Exactly. All that stuff. The fan base was taught that's what we are. And so when I finally fall in love with a new guy who's maybe not ours originally, but he's a guy who's hustling. He's the new gritty Giant guy, and they take him away? Well, then all of a sudden I'm wondering, well, what the heck am I supposed to do? I just fell in love with somebody, and you're taking him away.
Well, it's an ostrich take to me because you got to see who your president of baseball operations is, and just look at last year. They had 65, I believe is the number, different guys play professionally for the San Francisco Giants last year. This is not the old days. This is a new regime.
Can I move the chip into the center then?
Move
with
it.
You and your new regime?
Push your chips.
And you're saying there's no emotion then? There's no emotion tied to this?
I'm saying the front office.
Right.
The decision making within the front office, no emotion.
Absolutely. And I get that. If you're going to do that, why aren't you going to go take a look at a nice young player who didn't get tendered by another team in Major League Baseball? Why aren't you going to go call the agent of Addison Russell and say he was an MVP candidate, he's a former All-Star, he's 25 years old today? If I have no emotion about anything and I'm just looking at raw data, Addison Russell is a great pickup for an affordable price for a team trying to do exactly that.
All right, so now what you're doing is you're trying to find the guys with the character concerns of the red flags. This is the Cincinnati Bengal approach. The Bengals aren't going to spend what everyone else spends in the NFL. So their entire approach is find me good players that are flawed, Vontaze Burfict. Find me a good player that's flawed, Pac-Man Jones. Those guys can play, but they also get into trouble, cause issues in the locker room, cause issues off the field. Russell, obviously, as you know from Chicago, what's the baggage with him that people here
might
not be
aware of?
Well,
he has a couple of things. One, his ex, the mother of one of his children, went on social media to say that he had physically abused her. There's another woman who he has a child with who also went on social media to say that he has been away from that child and has done all he can to not be involved in that person's life. So he's got a couple of dings off the field with women in his life.
Had a 40-game suspension he already served,
yes,
which
yes.
means if there's another, quote, ding, as you put it, it's more likely to be 80 or 100 games or more.
Absolutely.
So that
or
has
more.
To be added into the calculus.
No, there's no question about that. There's
Let it
no
marinate.
Question.
Let it marinate.
Okay.
888-957-9570. If it's a new era, are you willing to take some risks? What do you think about the idea of Addison Russell coming to the Bay Area to play for the Giants? 888-957-9570. That plus the injury report from Bradenton, Florida, of all places, here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lo and Dims with Jim Cosimore.
Some junk? You get junk shots?
On 95.7 The Game.
You, Mr. Cosimore, had a very interesting idea for the Giants this offseason.
Sure.
We're talking about Kevin Pillar not coming back. People just so upset Pillar can't be brought back. $10 million. He's taken reps away from the young guys who need to be developed. You got to get over it, right? This is the new era of Giants baseball. It's going to be uncomfortable. You know why? Because it was comfortable and casual for too long, and that's what got the team in this mess. So now it's time to get a little uncomfortable. You have quite an uncomfortable suggestion for this organization.
It's uncomfortable if you are so stringent in your thinking that you can't do certain things. I think that the Giants, this version of the Giants, is showing that they are not going to get emotional over a lot. And part of emotion is looking at people's the background checks of everybody. They're going to do background checks. They're going to do homework. I don't think they're going to bring in just filthy criminals. But this is what I think the Giants should do. If you are churning, if you are trying to find the best talent that is the most affordable right now and get good close looks at guys, this is a team that cannot afford not to pick up the phone and call the agent of Addison Russell. Addison Russell was a former Oakland A's farmhand who was considered their number one prospect. He went to the Chicago Cubs in a trade when the A's were trying to make that run when they had John Lester. They also went after the pitcher. Samardzija. That's what the trade that got the A's Samardzija. Addison Russell goes to the Cubs. Subsequently, is the starting shortstop and significant piece on a World Series winner. He is an all-star player in the National League and was thought of as an MVP candidate. He comes with some mud. He has off-the-field issues involving two separate women. One of them is a physical scenario. He served a 40-game suspension, but he served his suspension. He is doing everything right now off the field to get all the help he needs. He's now free to be had by any team. If I'm the Giants, I'm picking up the phone and saying we've got a nice soft landing spot for you over at 3rd and King, and Addison Russell should be wearing a Giants uniform next season to get a good close-up view to see if I've got my shortstop of the future or my second baseman of the future, because he played both with the Cubs. So my view for the Giants is make a run at Addison Russell.
All right, help me out here, Dibs. You're from here.
Yeah.
You've been here your whole life. How would the fan base react to a move like this? Because let's be honest, everyone was outraged over Gabe Kapler, and yeah, that's not really a thing anymore. We're already past it. Remember all that outrage, all the columns, all the takes, all the
Whatever.
Tweets, everything that was out there? Took about 48 hours, and yeah, we're done. We're kind of done with it.
For now. And that's the thing about the Bay Area and our sensitivity when it comes to these situations and these issues. And let's put aside the fact that Addison Russell has declined as a player, and there are reports that maybe he wasn't totally committed to learning the signs in Chicago, and his craft got away from him a little bit over the last couple of years. And I know some of that was because of the off-field
Absolutely.
Difficulty.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, Jim, you can't help but look at 2 years of decline and including a demotion to the minors and think, is this guy really sold out to become the player he once was? We'll put that aside and just look at what you talked about. And it's more than just mud when you talk about domestic violence allegations of this severity in an area where Larry Bear was all but removed from his position over a scuffle over a cell phone. And that was a scuffle that was captured on video, which led to, I think, the dramatization of the incident. Yet he no longer has the same position he used to have. So for me, to bring in Addison Russell against the backdrop of the Gabe Kapler thing, which we haven't heard the last of, I don't think. If they start out 4-17, like the Warriors are now, that is going to surface
again.
They're
4-18 right now.
I apologize. That will percolate again to the surface. So as much as it's dormant now, that hasn't gone away. The fan base would not tolerate bringing in Addison Russell.
I love to punch the Bay Area in the face with this. First of all, he served a suspension.
Interesting choice of words there.
I know, exactly. And I said it for a reason. Because they're holier than thou about, oh, he can't play for us because of his past. Well, let's take that. He paid his dues. He did something wrong, paid his dues. When are you going to allow him to come back and play? Are you telling me a guy who makes a mistake, then has to go off and do something to fix that mistake, he goes off and does it, What are you going to allow him to do? Can he play baseball ever again?
He can play baseball, Jim, but organizationally, you don't have to be about providing a safe harbor for abusers.
Number
if you look
two,
at the Giants fan base.
Abusers, you're making it sound like this is a regular occurrence for the guy. This was one instance with a guy who admitted it, who stood up to it after it was brought out, and he is going through the process to become a better human being.
When you're trying to draw fans to Third and King, and that's the number one overriding desire and goal of this organization, above even winning, is to make money. This is professional sports.
Yep.
To bring in a player who has this on his resume, on his ledger, is damaging to your ability to draw fans, especially female fans. And you know, Jim, having been down there, the Giant fan base is very, very large in the female world.
Let me ask you this, though. Once you start winning, and this is where it gets interesting, all the way across the country, across all spectrums, if you're winning, it doesn't seem like anyone cares. Nobody in Kansas City cared that Tyreek Hill got that deal.
Boom.
Tyreek Hill was beating up a kid. He's beating up a kid. Tyreek Hill has a litany of issues, but he's really exciting. He's a good football player, and people in Kansas City don't care. The only reason Kareem Hunt got run was it was on tape. Really, the only thing that matters is whether or not it's on tape. If the Larry Bird thing isn't on tape, he's not suffering the consequences that he suffered as a result. When it's on tape and you can see it, you have a different reaction to all of it. Otherwise, there's plenty of speculation that can occur. And once you start winning, nobody cares. Nobody in Cincinnati cared when they were getting to the playoffs because of Pac-Man and Vontez and all that. Nobody in Kansas City cares. Tyreek Hill and all these dudes. Like, sometimes if you can find ways to win, people move on. The Niners with how many of those? Alden Smith, Ray McDonald, how many different guys on that team? But Harbaugh had a team of winners, so no one cared. Raider fans wanted Alden Smith because he could possibly help them win.
And that was all dealt with in due time. When Alden Smith went to illegal firearms and, you know, multiple weapons, then he no longer was on the 49ers. Even if they were 13-3, he wouldn't have been there anymore.
He had multiple
And Ray
issues.
McDonald and Reuben Foster and all these players, they've been ushered out. And you mentioned Kansas City. This is not Kansas City. And you've lived here now 5 years enough, and we've had these conversations about the soft serve ice cream nature of we people here in the Bay Area. I don't think that you could look at an individual. You remember Lawrence Phillips, Jim?
Yes, I do.
When he was a 49er.
Yes, I do, actually.
And he was a violent, abusive guy. Rest in peace. He was not tolerated here with the Niners. And I know they weren't winning.
Right.
But I don't think that this area has ever tolerated somebody who has this
but
in their past.
Aren't we the forgiving, helpful society here in Northern California? Remember, we want to rehabilitate guys. Is it better to let him be out there on his own not doing anything or give him an infrastructure to help him overcome his problems? I think that I love looking at the Bay Area because everyone wants to just shove these people out the door and kick them because they want to be holier than thou. But you're not living to what you really say, right? Would you rather have him out there doing nothing, or would you rather have an infrastructure around him to help the poor guy?
It's interesting. Bring him in.
Yeah.
Give him an opportunity.
Yeah.
Show that you can be the ones that helped him get his life back on track.
That's what we're about in the Bay Area. That's what we're about. That's our ethos. No, it's not. No, it's not.
It depends on the crime, Jim.
It depends on the crime.
And you're not a woman, nor am I, nor is Joe. So you can't speak to that side of it. All I'm saying is, from an organizational standpoint, if you're looking to draw the widest swath of fans, and you know that your fan base is whatever percent female, I would argue that it's as high as any other organization in Major League Baseball.
Maybe the Cubs is the other one. It's probably the other.
I wonder what the backlash would be. Already, you know your attendance is going to dip. It was down last year. It was down from the year before that. So you know it's going to slide already. If you bring this player in, what does it cost you on the bottom line?
That leads to an interesting point on a slightly different matter regarding the Giants. They're eventually going to need to identify and promote the new face of this franchise. That's something that they've got to figure out, too. It's not going to be Kapler. Kapler's not going to be the face of the franchise. Kapler's going to be the guy that serves as the intermediary between the front office and the team. Do your job in the clubhouse. People will respect you, but you are not going to be the face of the franchise. And the front office can't be the face of the franchise. Analytics guys cannot be the face.
No.
And that's fine. They don't want to be the face. They want to handle their job behind the scenes. But at some point, the new face of this franchise is going to need to emerge and be promoted. It's not Belt. It's not Crawford. And it's not Posey. Those days are gone. Bumgarner's going to be leaving. Like they're going to need
Joey Bart, isn't it?
You would think. You would think it's going to be Joey
Bart.
They're
hoping it.
That's what they're hoping for. That's what I think the fans are hoping for. This could be the guy, but at some point...
It's a lot of pressure on a guy who hasn't taken an at-bat yet in the bigs.
Yeah, but you want that.
You're right. You're right, Joe.
You want that pressure on those guys to see how they respond. There's nothing wrong with pressure. We go out of our way, and this is one of the biggest problems we have with sports, with society, with raising children. We go out of our way to try to eliminate every obstacle, to try to eliminate all pressure, to try to eliminate every semblance of discomfort so that life is easy. Life is not easy. You want to be battle-tested with adversity. You want to face pressure. That's not real pressure. Real pressure is not coming up and being presented with the, hey, you're going to be the face of the Giants. You know what pressure is? Trying to keep the lights on when you've been laid off and you got three kids to feed.
That's pressure.
Joey Bart's not going to face real-world pressure. He's going to face professional sports pressure. And you know what? He's probably got the makeup of a guy that can handle it. He probably has because he started thriving immediately when they brought him into the organization. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about the idea of putting too much pressure on him because you know what? When it's Game 7 of the World Series and you need someone to bring in a hit, that's going to be pressure. And you want that kid to have gone through stuff like that. You want him to have experienced that so he knows those feelings.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I think it's one of the best things you hear about in golf. When Phil Mickelson does these practice rounds with the young guys and he's betting like $50,000 a putt. I think it's Ricky Fowler. Don't quote me. I think it's Ricky Fowler that has this story about playing a practice round with Phil years ago before he was super established. And it was like this 12-foot putt. Phil wanted to bet like $20,000 on it. He took the bet because he didn't want to seem weak, peer pressure. But he was thinking to himself, I can't afford to miss. To Phil, this is nothing. But to me, this is everything. But you're out there. Phil does it to simulate the pressure so that when you get to the Masters and you're on the 69th hole and you're in contention, are you going to be able to sink it from 6 feet when you're shaking? Simulating real-world pressure. There's a reason Tiger Woods was able to thrive in so many of those moments because he had been there before. And there's a reason so many young guys the first time through, they collapsed. What was it? Rory, the first time through at Augusta, just absolutely melted that last day. Jordan Spieth, the same
thing. Yeah, a couple times.
But then they come back and they're even better because they've dealt with it before. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station.
Woo! Got it.
Yeah.
Good job, my man.
It's going to be a cold day in hell when I miss that.
I'm mostly intrigued when people don't want to give someone a second chance after they paid the penalty. If he never paid a penalty, if he got away with something scot-free, I'd have a problem with it. But the guy, he made a big mistake, and he paid dearly for it. How much longer are we going to make him pay for it?
Are there some things, Jim, that are unforgivable, in your opinion? Some, and I don't want to make this too much about society.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Yeah.
But are there some things that are unforgivable? And I think we all would agree that
yes.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, there are things that are unforgivable.
As we move that line, and we're not going to move this line back and forth for the sake of this argument, but I think for individuals, if you're going to support financially a professional sports team and certain players are brought in, that might be a turnoff. I think we can
absolutely
all say that
depending on.
So I think to even bring this into the fold over a guy who may or may not be diminishing on the field as well, I think it's a risk that you don't necessarily want to take.
Would the risk be worth the reward if you were the Giant front office considering bringing in a guy like Addison Russell? Obviously, you could get him for cheap. There's some upside there. The A's clearly thought very high of him. The Cubs thought very high of him. And then, there were the domestic violence issues and things took a turn for the worse. You could get him for cheap, perhaps. He finds that magic that made him such a highly regarded prospect. But if you're the organization, you're already dealing with, one, people not happy that Bochy's gone. And, oh, by the way, it turns out Bochy didn't want to retire. He wants to keep managing. So
and
basically
he may be
now,
coming back in your division soon.
So there you've got that. So you've got the idea that you could have had Bochy, but you pushed him out. That's number one. Number two, Bumgarner's probably going to sign elsewhere, so losing him's going to sting. Number three, you bring in Gabe Kapler, and the fan base is not happy about it. So right now, I wouldn't say you're in a situation where you have a fan base that's very excited about what you've got going on. Right now, people are casting an eye on this very suspiciously. Winning will change all that. Progress will change all that. But how many more risks can you take before you stack too many plates up as you're trying to walk back to the kitchen and then boom, corner? and it all comes.
You're like Red Panda on the unicycle right now, trying to flip bowls. You know she can get six or seven.
That's a solid act, by the way.
Yeah, Red Panda's not dropping those bowls, though.
That is top drawer talent.
But is Farhan Zaidi Red Panda on the unicycle, or are you already stacking enough bowls to where it's time to just maybe make a couple of quiet moves, eat your medicine for this year, and worry about 2021 when Bart's there, maybe Ilio Ramos, maybe Shaw's up by then, and you can really start to move forward.
I don't think you can put anyone in that Red Panda category. She's so dominant. I mean, you're starting to talk about like the Jordans and the Tiger Woodses of the world.
That's a good call. I agree. Better than quick change is good, but Red Panda's tops. Better than quick change. I'm looking at all the great halftime action.
The two dancers who change, like he'll spin the woman and all of a sudden
she's wearing a different outfit.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's unbelievable. They'll be standing there. They'll pick up a curtain, drop the curtain, completely different outfit. And you're like, it's a nanosecond. How the heck did they do that? It's a fantastic act, but it's not Red Panda.
No.
But it's very good. Not. It is on Mount Halftime Act More.
It might be. I miss the hoop troop and the trampolines and the flying dunks myself. I know that was between quarters.
They had the dude last year. He did the upside down painting, and you don't know what the hell he's doing. And then he flips around. It's like, oh my God,
Garibaldi.
It's Clay Thompson.
Garibaldi. He's
that
a Sacramento area guy. He goes around to every arena, just has a blank canvas, music playing and blaring. He's just throwing paint on it, right?
He's just throwing paint.
You're like, what is that?
That was
my
the
kid can
the
do
great
that.
Come from behind act because you're 5 minutes in thinking this is a joke.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously,
yeah.
this is a kindergartner slinging paint.
That guy's the Gone Girl of halftime acts. You're like, you're losing me here, Gone Girl, if you read that book. And then you get to the big twist and you're like, this book is awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Okay.
Good comparison.
We're cooking. What the hell were we even talking about?
Farhan Zaidi is not Red Panda,
by the way,
we all decided.
Here's the deal. Listen.
Please.
Billy Beane saw talent in the guy. Farhan Zaidi was there at the time. He knows Addison Russell. If there's a team that's going to take a risk, you're risking on a 25-year-old all-star shortstop. Former all-star who's won a World Series.
Isn't everyone technically a former all-star?
I was
this is an all-star game tonight. It's not the Pro Bowl, for crying out loud, where everyone's a Pro Bowler. I mean, the guy's got a great resume. He's got a horrible set of dings on it. I think it's worth rolling the dice. You bring him in, you take a look. What is it going to cost you? Nothing, right? If your fan base doesn't like it, if they're that miserable.
Well, reputation.
You know what? You're not signing him to a 5-year deal. You got 1 year. You might say, hey, come to training camp with us. If you can't cut it there, we know we'll cut our losses. I think it's worth the phone call.
I want to go to the NFC playoff picture in just a second. Okay. One last question on this. Do you think, just to take an initial temperature, what do you think the hot stove for the Giants is going to look like between now and spring training? Like, how active do you think they will be? How splashy? I want to use that word. Because maybe they're active and they make 40,000 little nuanced signings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking like, you think anyone splashy comes in? We spent years talking about Stanton and Harper. I know those guys aren't coming, but do you think anything splashy takes place?
No, you said hot stove. It's going to be more like one of those Coleman camping stoves with the single burner and the tiny propane
tank. That's hard to start, too. You can't really cook
a meal. You can cook something on it, but you can't cooked multi-pots on there.
No.
So as far as hot stoves goes, there's going to be a camping stove with one burner, Jim.
I think there's going to be a lot of churn. There's going to be a lot of names, and we're going to get an awful lot of texts to the point where my wife's going to say, why do you keep getting texts? Why does your phone keep blowing up? She thinks I'm in a relationship. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's all, honey. It's just a guy telling me the Giants have picked up somebody I can't pronounce. That's all I know. I think they will be active, but they're not going to be. Remember last year there was the
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.